All I could tell you is it's probably been too long. My bad. He's a terrific analyst for the Pac-12 Network. You don't have to tell him twice to bear down. A member of Lute Olson's first Final Four team back in 88. Recorded the first ever Wildcat triple-double on Twitter. The handle is at Matt Muehlbach. Matt, we live in crazy times. How are you and yours holding up?
Oh, man, it is crazy. I agree with you. Doing well. And thank you for having me back on. I always love being on your show.
You know, one of the things that has kind of fascinated me the last couple decades following Oregon sports, the recruiting process. Folks usually think about it when it comes to football, you know, who's wearing what hat. How did that impact you? I mean, when you came out of high school, I guess around 87, what was the process like for you? What schools were you considering? And be it an assistant or Coach Olson, you know, what made you decide the U of A was for you?
You know, I grew up in the Bay Area, and I grew up actually not too far from, I was high school rivals with, Gary Payton. So I was really familiar with the Pac-12 and always wanted, you know, dreamed of playing in a Pac-12 school. And so my top two, were Stanford and Arizona. Those were the two that kind of, like, I narrowed it down mainly to. The third one, which was a little interesting, was a little outside the Pac-12, was Kansas. And they had a guy who probably Oregon fans will remember, Kevin Pritchard.
Oh, yeah.
Who used to be the GM there with Portland, I think. And he was a year ahead of me, and he was at Kansas. And I really loved Kansas, but I knew Pritchard was really good. He played the same position, so I was a little bit concerned about that. You know, Stanford was the team I always dreamed of because I grew up in the Bay Area. But Arizona came in, and I loved Lute. Kevin O'Neill was the assistant at the time. I really liked Kevin. And I really liked kind of the family atmosphere they had. And Lute just, Lute was a pretty shy person. But he was also incredibly, had a presence about him that was amazing. He was a really big man. You know, just had an incredible presence. I remember him walking into our family room, and it just, like, I almost kind of just knew. And like I said, then Steve Kerr was going to be a senior when I was a freshman, so I was like, well, it's a great spot to kind of go and, you know, learn the ropes and then hopefully play after that. So that's what happened. And although my daughters give me a lot of crap, they're like, Dad, how could you have a scholarship to Stanford and not go there? You're really dumb.
That's awesome. you mentioned Gary Payton, and, legendary for how he chirped at Oregon State and right through his entire NBA Hall of Fame career. Was he a big talker in high school as well?
He was. I mean, he was pretty cool with me. I'll tell you one thing. I didn't talk to him. Like, I was like, okay. He was a year ahead of me, so I respected the heck out of him. And, you know, he was obviously incredibly good. And we had some good battles. Our team played. We actually had a crazy game. You ever have him on the show, man? We had a high school game where a riot ensued after the game. It was like, it was nuts. And sort of makes me think of what's going on right now. But yeah. we had some riot with good rivalry. He went to Skyline High School, and I went to Bishop O'Dowd, and we were sort of the best team in the Catholic League, and he had the best team in the Oakland Public League, and so we used to play each other in Summer League as well. But he was pretty cool with me. I remember, you know, we had some great times at Arizona. I remember him talking to guys, and one of my favorite stories ever was he played in McHale his senior year here. I was guarding him a lot that game, and the managers were chirping at him. The Arizona managers, and he was chirping at the managers. It was hilarious. And towards the end of the game, he didn't have a great game. And towards the end of the game, though, he got the ball, and I think I'm guarding him right in front of our bench, and he turns and he hits a long three pointer, and he turns to the managers. And he says, but you guys love me, or you love me, though. And I just never forget that. And the managers started laughing. They all loved it. Like, they thought it was the greatest thing ever. So he was just as tough a competitor as you'd ever want to go against.
No, he's quite the character, to say the least. Talking with Matt Muehlbach of Pac-12 Network. So after a rare tournament miss, talking about Arizona in 2019, they were kind of on the bubble when last season shut down. You know, they lost Nico Mannion, who's now with the Warriors G League team. Josh Green went in the first round to Dallas. So as far as this team, for those who haven't seen him, what are you liking about the freshman from Montreal, Benedict Mathurin?
Oh, he's a fantastic player. He's going to be really good. He comes in with kind of, I think, lower expectations than like those guys you mentioned, which I think helps young guys like that. So they're not just, you know, they don't come on campus and immediately think, okay, what pick am I going to go in the first round? Kind of had to earn it. But he plays above the rim, super athletic. And what I love most about him, he's just aggressive. You know, he gets it and just goes to the rim. He doesn't hesitate, and I know as a, you know, talking about me when I was a player, it took me a full year before I was anywhere close to not hesitating. So for him to pick that up that quickly, pretty amazing. He's going to be a good one.
And the big guy from Lithuania, Azulis Tabelis, off a career game, 31 points in that USC loss. Again, for our listeners who haven't seen him play yet, what can you tell us about his games coming along as a freshman?
Yeah, he's a really big, strong freshman from Lithuania, you mentioned. Like, he had a game where he dunked and he hung on the rim, and he didn't even realize that that was a technical, hanging on the rim. And so he's really learning the game. Like, there are things he didn't understand coming over from, you know, European basketball, and he's going to be a really good player. And I think, you know, one thing that makes Arizona decent this year, although they had a tough homestand, is I think their teams look a little more like the Oregon teams have looked like the last 5 or 6 years, where you have a really good mix of, freshmen who are really good, transfers, normal, you know, kind of the traditional transfer, 5-year grad transfers, and that mix, I think, is helping them. I really think last year they were probably more talented, but I'm not sure they were as good of a team just because it's hard. You know, look at a team like Kentucky who's lived on the one and done, and they've won one title, you know, in the last whatever it is, 12 years. And it's so hard, and that's why I've always respected Dana, because he does such a great job of, like, bringing those guys together when he gets all these new guys, and he's able to figure it out super quick.
Arizona is here in our neck of the woods tomorrow night for the Beavs. You know, obviously OSU under Wayne Tinkle ended a quarter century drought of making the big dance, slipped a bit. You know, they lost some really good players, Kyler Kelly, Trace Tinkle, Ethan Thompson's now a senior, Jared Lucas improved from his freshman year. What do you make of what you've seen from this OSU team moving forward this year?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, you lose that talent, you're going to have a little bit of a drop off. You know, I think Wayne's done a good job. He got a good grad transfer, brings him in. I think he's had some good freshmen come in, and they've just, you know, they're just, they've been maybe a tick away from what I think has been, you know, would have been some really good teams. I think I did their game in Pauley years ago when they did make it. I think, were they the play-in game that year? I want to say they made it that year. But anyway, I think he's doing a good job with what he has. But I just, you know, you lose Trace, and that's hard to replace.
A few final thoughts for Matt Muehlbach of the Pac-12 Network. Oregon lost their first game of this year in Omaha to Missouri, been without their point guard, Will Richardson. Then they won 8 in a row. They lost at Boulder, where they've never won. Rebound beat Utah. Chris Duarte's been their money man. From what you've been able to see from this Duck team, what about their prospects the rest of the year as they, you know, try and defend their title?
Well, I think they've got a great chance of doing it. You know, I love Duarte. We did a thing on the Pac-12 studio the other day where I picked him as the best shooter in the conference, and he does more than that. He's good on steals. He's getting to the rim more. Obviously, Amaruyi has had an incredible, you know, year so far, and, you know, kind of came out of nowhere. But I think the key for them is Will Richardson. I mean, I thought going into the year he was probably their best player, or could be their best player, like a guy that definitely is a, you know, an NBA prospect. And for him not to play, and for them to be right there at the top and, you know, fighting for a Pac-12 title, I think they got a chance to win it because of that. I just, and again, just Dana does such a good job. I was talking about him on the, you know, on somebody else's radio show. He just, and you know, there's so many good coaches in the Pac-12, but Dana's like, he just, fundamentals. You know, you go to his practice, he talks about bending your knees.
Right.
He talks about, you know, talking. I mean, it's almost like you could go to a freshman high school practice and you'd hear the same stuff. And I love what he's able to do. You know, and you got to do it now to the new kids and kind of new things going on. But he's able to do it. So a lot of respect.
Yeah, I always refer to him as a nuts and bolts coach.
That's a great way to explain it.
UCLA, we know Mick Cronin came here from the Big East after a rough non-conference. They ran second to Oregon in the Pac-12 last year. They brought back a lot of talent. You know, they started out with a loss to San Diego State, lost a tight one to a good Ohio State team, but they're unbeaten in the conference. How do you like their shot to make a move in this league and, you know, for them getting back to the tournament for the first time in 3 years?
I think they will. I think, you know, they bring an unbelievable toughness, rebounding. They're hard to deal with the way they play. And what they've kind of figured out is they just kind of, under Mick, they figured out how to win. They've had a lot of close games. They seem to win every single one of them. It is kind of almost like a no-name. Yeah, I remember the old Dolphins, a no-name defense.
Yeah.
It's like a no-name team. They don't have – Chris Smith was probably their best player, and he, you know, blew out his knees out for the season. It was a really terrible injury. It's really sad for him. But they kind of, you know, look at him last week. They come to the desert. They sweep Arizona State. You know, they've just got so many guys that contribute, and they're going to one guy. It's a real team kind of concept, and you know when you play them, you're gonna have to get after it, because that's kind of what Mick Cronin brings, that toughness and physical, you know, play.
And lastly, Matt, being at calling a game or in studio with Ashley or Pac-12 After Dark, you know, your network does such a great job keeping us wired into the conference. So your weekend schedule, where are we going to see you next and through this weekend?
Well, I am I'm at Boulder, actually, Saturday. I got Stanford, Colorado, and excited to see. I saw Colorado in person against Arizona. Have not seen Stanford live, and I think Stanford's right there. It's like, there's like a five-team race, you know, with USC, UCLA, Oregon, Stanford, and Colorado, I think, right there. You know, and I think, so it's going to be fun to see Stanford, Oscar Da Silva, you know, player of the year type guy. So I'll be there. I'll be in the studio the next week. I'm hoping, you know, I haven't been up to Oregon to do the Beavers or the Ducks this year. I'd love to do it. And I've got to mention, I was able to go. It was kind of a question mark whether I'd do it or not, but I was able to go to Bandon Dunes this last October, and that was one of the coolest things I've ever done in my life. That resort, that golf, the whole thing, the courses, the facility on the coast of Oregon was one of the greatest things I've ever done. That was an absolute bucket list. I just got to shout that out to your Oregon listeners.
Oh, no. We have a big golf following here. I fancy myself a golfer, too. And Bandon's actually becoming not just known around here or nationally, but internationally. People are making
that. I can see. So I'm hoping I get like a Saturday game up there, and I can come in maybe Thursday and try to shoot down there for a Friday trip.
Nice. Folks, he's Matt Milbach of the Pac-12 Network. Now we know where to find him on Twitter. It's at Matt Milbach. Hey, Matt, always fun catching up. I promise I won't make it so long again. Be well, travel safe, and we'll catch up soon.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Steve. Have a good one.
All right, take it easy.